There's a little bit.
Yeah. Kicking and grinning. There we go. How you doing there, Larry?
Fine. I think the cold got to these wires over here. They don't sound here anyway.
All righty. Well, we'll get you going here in a minute.
Golly, it's cold out there, man.
Yeah.
That's going to slow down the progress of the oak trees and the maples and the birch trees putting on their seeds and whatnot.
Okay.
But anyway, woo! Every moose up in Canada can hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing up loud.
Goodness sakes. Well,
But anyway, typically the buds on the maple trees are starting to swell.
Yep.
And the little flowers are, and actually,
well, wait a second. In this cold weather, are you sure we're not getting any shrinkage?
Before this, I'm not going into that. But anyway, typically, though, it's what, and the maple trees were starting to develop some flowers.
Gotcha.
There's a little bit of bud swell before the cold spell hit. So okay. I think they've kind of arrested their development for a little while.
Right.
So that can kind of tell you what's happening with the weather. And, mm-hmm. and the sap was beginning to run on them and the birch trees as well. So you still might have a little bit of time to trim them.
If you can manage to get out there in the minus 14 wind chill.
I couldn't get my pruning shears started even.
Oh, I bet you couldn't.
It's so cold.
Oh, man.
But anyway, typically that's what happens. So when it's cold like this, we just kind of pause and sort of reflect on maybe what we did last year in the garden and what we can do to improve things this year in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And things such as soil preparation and mulches and the general appearance of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, your house is your biggest asset.
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to maintain it. Nothing looks really better than a fresh layer of mulch. You can really dress up the front of the house real well.
Nice contrast there.
And then maybe some pruning of the plants or something, mm-hmm. too, to shape them up a little bit. A lot of the landscape plants I know that we put in can tolerate a real heavy pruning and really come back looking rather nice. An example is in the front of my house. I had some, or still have, some Moon Bay Nandinas.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the precursor to the obsessions of the others. Anyway, they've been there since the 80s. And they were just the big, heavy stems, real quirky.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'm not out much. These things are ugly. And they went from 4 feet tall down to 6 inches. And they came back. And they looked great. They looked brand new.
Wow. All they needed was a little bit of a haircut and a fresh start.
So that's what you need. And I see that a lot in people's dwarf Nandinas.
Mm-hmm.
They've permitted them to get too tall beyond their really a positive appearance.
Got it.
The dwarf Nandinas are the ones that are red at this point. The little red things you see around some of the entrances to the housing areas and all that. They'll have some planted here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a bright weather maker thing you got there, push button red. Yeah, the bright red color. Good stop sign red color. Yes, they do have a machine here that creates the weather. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so those are the ones that are bright red and relatively small right now. Mm-hmm. And I have some at my house, and they're going to get cut back really low this year. Mm-hmm. About every 3 years, you really need to cut them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of them in town that have probably been 10 years before. Same, probably the last time they changed their oil, they cut their Nandinas back. Anyway, that's one plant that we have to be concerned about pruning up pretty soon. Another one is the liriope. There are various kinds of liriope, and it's not the oak. We have varieties that tend to clump. They don't tend to spread.
Mm-hmm.
The big blue is one that kind of clumps. And also the silvery sunproof is one that tends to clump and stay in place also.
Gotcha.
So those need to be cut back also coming up pretty soon, too.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't do it right now.
Hmm. Nope.
Your feet would... So-called, they'd stick to the ground. But
you wouldn't know you had feet after 10 minutes.
You'd be stuck out there. But anyway, so right now in the garden, this is time for some planting. And I did have a couple of designs on the drawing board, and they've mm-hmm. since been emailed out to people.
Yeah.
So I've got a few more to go. Working on a few rather long-term, large designs.
Mm-hmm.
And those are in progress right now. So planting is very important in the land, because the landscape can be an expensive proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you do it right to begin with. And that's kind of a service we offer at the nursery, is a design service that not only lets you see what your house will look like with these plants, but it'll also give you a budget that you can follow, or a phasing plan, phase one, phase two, phase three, that kind of a thing. And depending on what you consider the most important part of the landscape, mm-hmm. can dictate how the phasing is done. In other words, you think, well, I want the big specimen plants first, mm-hmm. or I want the edging in first and the ground prep done. Can you just do that? It's a sure. I can spread that out and put it on a spreadsheet and factor in the labor and all that, and tell you how much it'll cost to break the ground and put in the edging and all that. Mm-hmm. We did that on a project this winter where we built a patio and a retaining wall and a walkway, all this kind of stuff in a landscape as phase one of a project. And then later on in the spring, if it'll ever thaw out.
If it ever thaws out.
Later on in the spring, we'll go ahead and go do the ground prep and put the plants in too. Mm-hmm. So you can spread out, you can phase out the landscape. Now, when you do a phasing of the landscape, you'd almost want to do the hardscape first. Hardscape being things such as retaining walls and paving and borders and ground prep. Mm-hmm. You want to get all that stuff done first. And a big part of the cost, of course, are the plants. Mm-hmm. And of course, depending on the elaboration of the borders, mm-hmm. and the paving, if you want to do some of that, that can be the most expensive thing too. So you just have to mm-hmm. get a design and find out. Mm-hmm. And say, Larry, what can I do first? What can I do to get it ready? So we can go to the nursery on a weekend and buy maybe five plants or something and put them in and slowly get it done in. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways to do that. Some people, I just do it, you know. Some people, they just do it. And some people, you know, they don't do that. But really, a nice landscape can really set off a house really mm-hmm. nicely. And if your house looks a little tired, perhaps it just needs a little updating on the landscaping. And it could be anything from just a few plants to a lot of plants. Mm-hmm. Or maybe bring the beds out a little bit and have some flowers in front. And depending on the variety of plants, maybe some pruning can be done on the plants too. Now, when it comes to pruning, though, there's some plants that can tolerate it and some plants that can't. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier the Nandinas. They respond very well to pruning. But things like junipers and mugel pines. If you have a mugel pine or a tanjosho pine that's too big, you really can't cut them back. Because mm-hmm. they don't have the ability to bounce back after they've been cut back. Now, things like yews, you can cut them back rather sternly, but it takes about 3 years for them to come back. Whereas Nandina is just a one-year thing. Mm-hmm. And some of the junipers, the spreading low-growing junipers, and some of the specimen kind of, the upright Canardia junipers and things like that, if they get too big, they can come back, but it takes them a little while to recover from a heavy pruning. So you have to factor that in. How much time do you want to wait for these evergreen plants that have cut back really bad? How many years do you want, years do you want to wait for them to come back? And something like a yew plant, if it's just cut back slightly, it will branch out. Mm-hmm. And boxwoods are very good about really being cut back far too. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of houses with boxwoods that are just huge. And they look like little green moving boxes going up the sidewalk. They can be cut back rather sternly as well. I did some in my backyard last year that I planted. It was a variety called spreading boxwood.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
did they spread?
It has a tendency to spread.
They got just a little big. Or a lot?
They got too big.
Oh, man.
So I whacked them back. And it took all summer for them to recover. This year, they all look really nice.
There you go. Taught them a little lesson.
Yeah, some more boxwoods that got way too big. So I trimmed them up and made little trees out of them. It was kind of whimsical. Cool. And had these little tiny 5-foot-tall trees in the yard. Like I said, my yard's kind of a laboratory for all this stuff.
You and Bob Ross, let's just make a happy little tree here.
Yeah. So also, hollies can be cut back rather mm-hmm. sternly. Boxwoods, of course, crepe myrtles. Burning bush is another one. I have some at the house that are maintained as a tree form. Mm-hmm. Took them up from the bottom and they're 8 feet tall or so. Mm-hmm. And they look kind of like a small Japanese maple. Mm-hmm. Also have some out by the fence that are cut every year to knee high or below. Mm-hmm. And they bounce back to where they're about 4 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And the fall color, this last fall, the color was spectacular on the burning bush. and they come back and they make nice, tight little bushes. Now, on those, they do have a tendency to shoot up little shoots. Well, you just cut them back again and make sure you have a good good heavy grouping of leaves on them before the fall hits for their spectacular show. So anyway, so burning bush is another one you can really cut back too far if they get too out of hand. And also your clematis vines also. Typically this time of year in the middle of February, they are really, really just growing out. Typically. But not this year.
Not this year.
And it's time to kind of cut them back too.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go out and do anything to it.
Maybe, hey, we'll, take the week off, folks. It's not going to be worth your while.
We'll see what the weather does next week. And with the snow coming and all that, the ground is going to be really wet for a long period of time after the after the freeze goes away.
Now, when we come back next week, it'll be sunshine and 40. But between now and then, it's the frozen tundra.
Have you seen the temperature for what, Sunday night, Monday night? What, negative 12?
Yeah, minus 12.
12 below zero? That's wasn't too far long ago. We had 20-something below zero, 28 below zero. That's not too far away from that.
No, it's not.
So, golly, people, watch out.
I remember Bartlesville's Mayor Copeland was telling me that he got this picture sent to him on his phone. It said minus 27 or 26 or something like that. And it was from his son at the sheriff's office. The temperature popped up on his dashboard. And he said, well, I've not seen that before. Click. Hey, Dad, guess what? It's cold. It was something really icy like that. Yeah, it was minus 20 something. Yeah.
Yeah, the plumbers are going to be very busy.
Oh, yeah, they can retire after mid-March.
So run the water a little bit.
Yes.
Yes, run that water. It may seem so expensive, but then again,
it's less expensive.
Bill, if they're really backed up and you'll be inconvenienced for a long period of time, and the plumber bill will be a little bit high. So
let's put it this way. You don't want to take your showers at the Y. I mean, they're there for the patrons of the Y and stuff like that. But you know, you'd like to be able to take your own shower at your own home.
Yeah, we've
so don't let the pipes burst.
We have a circulating pumps at our house that circulate the water and keep the pipes warm. So that helps. But still, I keep them running. They only go on when you turn on the water typically. Yeah. But now I got them running all the time. And yeah, it's going to take a little bit of gas, but you're not spending the money on water, but it does take some natural gas. But still,
it's worth it.
Your house is on a slab like ours. If a pipe breaks, oh my goodness,
you're done.
So anyway, try
that
to.
That reminds me, I got to check under the house when I get home. Tonight.
Yeah, if you've got a crawl space, make sure all those vents are closed. Yeah,
they are. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. It is 8:22, and we'll be with you here after this 2-minute, 3-second timeout.
This is Tim from United Rentals. If you call United Rentals Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7-gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
What matters in this life? Is it the work we do? The things we accomplish? The stuff we accumulate? Or is it the life we build? The people we share it with? The friendships we cherish? And the family we come home to? A-Best Roofing. Protecting what matters most.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back. It is 8:24. It is the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He has all the answers. And, of course, we'll be taking your phone calls here at 918-336-1400. Toll free, though, for everyone in all the states that we cover, 1-800-749-5936.
Well, it's too early to apply crabgrass to winter.
I can't even see the crabgrass.
The crabgrass really won't come up till in March or so.
Okay, good.
Now, typically a pre-emergent herbicide has a lifespan. In other words, you put it on the ground, and when it rains or you water it, it goes into the soil, and it gets washed through the soil or washed away or absorbed by the plants or whatever anyway, or broken down by the sunshine. Which I'm glad to see we have some today.
Yeah, that's the only plus we got going for us today.
There is a sun up there.
You're getting some vitamin D.
So anyway, because of that, the crabgrass control. Can't get it out, Larry. The crabgrass control has a certain lifespan.
It does. Okay.
And that's about 90 days, 3 months. Mm-hmm. So you want to plan accordingly, and keep in mind when the crabgrass begins to grow. Typically, when the nighttime temperatures stay above 55 degrees. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's when the crabgrass begins to grow. So you want to be about a month ahead of that, so you still have a lot of potency when the time comes for it to come up. Mm-hmm. Now, the crabgrass control is what do you call a pre-emergent. In other words, the crabgrass seeds sprout a little bit, but it arrests their development. So there'll still be some survivors. So if we have an extraordinarily wet spring, and the way things are looking, we might have a wet spring. Mm-hmm. The crabgrass control is diluted somewhat, and about the 1st of May, you might have to apply a second amount.
Second application.
Because the seeds are basically still there.
Okay.
They don't all sprout and so on. And when it warms up, and it, they're gonna start growing when the crabgrass control wears off. Mm-hmm. So you might have to do a second application depending on the weather. So keep that in mind, too, with crabgrass. As far as the henbit and the chickweed, well, it's up already. I know I've got a little bit up by the mailbox. Kevin gave me a hard time about that.
he pointed that out a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, I said, well, it's a little patch. You can reach around it. You know, it's not that much. So
according to him, it's a good-sized crop.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Well, send your cows up there to eat it up, man, if you're so concerned about it. So anyway, crabgrass is a warm seasonal annual grass. If we have a warm spell later on, and it gets rather warm for an extended period of time, the crabgrass will grow, and then if we have a freeze, it'll kill it out. But sometimes it doesn't get cold enough to really get down far enough to kill it out, and then it just turns the leaves a little bit on the purple side and leaves them out again. So that's kind of an effect that some plants have when it gets too cold. Mm-hmm. So the leaves turn purplish color. So that's because it can't take up phosphorus, and it causes a change in the chlorophyll. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes do that too, and when they're planted too early, the leaves just kind of sit there, and the leaves turn purple. Yeah. And
timing is everything when it comes to our majors.
Because of the active transport cells in the roots, they can't take up the phosphorus. Mm-hmm. And they do that. So when it warms up, they're fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's it, kind of it with crabgrass. As far as your other plants, look out at your grass and see, kind of kick the snow on the ice a little bit. And you'll probably see a few weeds coming up. I know I do have a little bit of henbit in my yard. Mm-hmm. I did put a pre-emergent down in the fall and did I didn't want to put down too heavily. Because you can overdose it.
Then you kill everything.
Yeah, really, kill everything. It sterilizes the soil. But I still have just a little bit here and there. And that doesn't bother me any at all. Just a few weeds here and there doesn't hurt anything. But that's not the case with some people.
Give me the Roundup.
So anyway, but so it'll be time for a broadleaf weed control pretty soon when it warms up a little bit.
Let's go to the phones here. Yes. Hi. Good morning. Welcome. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Yeah, I had a question. This bad cold snap we got coming up, is this going to mess up our azaleas?
Azaleas are they're very cold hardy. So we've had spells like this, and you get a little bit of tip burn. Some of the leaves get distorted. But the flowers, the buds are really tight right now, so I don't think.
Okay, well, that's what I know. One year we had snow and then a cold snap.
Yeah.
And about 2 feet up, everything above that did not bloom.
Well, that year was an extraordinarily, it got down in the 20 belows.
Well, I think we got an extraordinary one going on now, too.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering. All right, we'll just sort of keep an eye on them.
Yeah, keep an eye on them, and there's not much you can do, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, good luck on that.
All right. Do we need to cover our azaleas?
Well, that wouldn't hurt. Okay. But I don't know. With the cold we're going to get, I don't know if it'll do a whole lot of good, really.
When it gets that cold,
When it gets that cold, yeah. It's just out of range. I mean, this cold weather is an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect it to do this.
Ever since I moved here, it's been an anomaly. Look at all those tornadoes. Yeah, well, it's kind of an anomaly.
On your
Look
azaleas,
at all that water. It's kind of an anomaly.
Probably the best thing you can do is maintain a good layer of mulch on your azaleas and don't let them dry out at any time. Then then they'll be strong enough to withstand it. At least it'll set them back, and they should recover.
Oh, very good. Very good. I tell you what, that's making not only him rest a little easy, a lot of other people who invested in their azaleas too.
Yeah, after that cold spell, they all sort of came back. And the Photinias are the ones that are really going to take a hit.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Are you still on the air, sir?
No, he's not.
Okay, anyway. Okay. The Photinias took a real bad hit that year. And
they did?
They're going to do it again this year. They're a Zone 7 plant.
Okay.
And we're about 6.5.
Oh, boy.
So we're kind of at that area where you might make it. One thing that's going to happen, the crepe myrtles also, they're going to be cut back rather sternly, too, by this cold. So all of your tree crepe myrtles and everything, well, they're going to be bushes again.
Ooh.
So, except for there's some, the tonto and crepe myrtles, and there's some others that are more hardy than the others. They should survive okay.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And right now it is 8:31, and we will be right back after this 2-minute, 6-second timeout.
Peters True Value in Dewey always have good bargains each month. For February, for the do-it-yourself projects, check out the 37-piece DeWalt screwdriving set with case for $14.99, regularly priced at $26.99. A 34-piece DeWalt socket set, 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch drive for $29.99, regularly $44.99. And Dremel has a variable speed 24-piece rotary toolkit at Peters for $49.99, regular price $69.99. Save on these and other great bargains at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Now is the time to buy a pre-owned vehicle at Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City dealer in Independence. Right now, Romans has several 2020 executive vehicles with payments starting as low as $99 a month. Check out the stylish pre-owned 2020 Lincoln MKZ, boasting a smooth ride. Test drive their 2020 Buick Enclave Avenir all-wheel drive with low, low miles. Or their pre-owned 2020 Chevy Colorado with two-wheel drive and a sale price of $25,975. Sweet prices on 2020 executive vehicles this month at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, your Silverado City.
This year, let the professionals at Randy Lawrence Lawn Care handle all landscaping and yard maintenance for you. Whether it's winter snow and ice removal or summer mowing, landscaping, and yard cleanup, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care offers year-round full-service commercial property maintenance. Trust the professionals at Randy Lawrence Lawn Care, Bartlesville's leader in commercial property maintenance. Call today at 918-335-3235. That's 918-335-3235.
Howdy, D. Lucky Duck here with a thought about the weather. They say if you don't like the weather here, just wait a few minutes, it's bound to change. Okay, so what if it changes for the worse? You ready for that? If you're not sure, stop in and talk to LaWanna Duncan at Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance and Financial Services. She has information on most everything Mother Nature can throw at you and how to make sure you're covered. She's located next to the radio station on Frank Phillips Boulevard. Tell her the Duck sent you. She'll know who you're talking about.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Good morning. It is 8:34, and we do have some sunshine. It is a whopping 5 degrees, and if you are in the Coffeyville area, it feels like it's minus 15. If you're in the Bartlesville area, it feels like it's minus 11, but it's just not a good idea to get out and about unless you really, really have to. Huh. And Larry, we were telling us how our plants are kind of faring and what we could maybe expect with this.
Yeah, there's going to be some plants that have some damage on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of to be expected.
Yeah.
If you have bamboo, it'll be dead all the way to the ground.
But, you heard it from the Green Country Gardener.
Yeah,
bamboo's going to die.
Yeah, but... In about 4 or 5 hours, it'll be back up.
You're doing a resurrection shuffle, huh?
when it grows, you know, you can see it grow. But anyway, so it will come back if you have some bamboo plants and whatnot.
Okay.
And the Nandinas are going to take a little bit of a, they're going to look a little bit worn out.
Yeah, funky cold Nandinas.
Yeah, yeah. But they come back too.
There you go.
So. They found them, you know, growing on Mars. So it gets cold over there. So, if they can tolerate it, they'll come back. Yeah. So. However, we could use a little bit of snow cover, and that would help keep the ground a little bit warmer.
People really don't understand that, but that works as like a little bit of an insulator.
Right. When we had that zinger a long time ago, when we had the big snow, then it got down to... Mm-hmm. 300 degrees below zero or something.
Something like that.
The you could see a line where the snow was, on the Fitinias especially, and they were just dead on the top. And where the snow was, they were still, you know, green or red, if you will. And the thing with the Fitinias, if they do get killed off like this, you want to cut them back really low, cut them back to where they're starting to grow again.
Okay.
They have a bad time with Entomosporium, which is a disease, and it will get in there and kill out the rest of the plant. They also get fire blight pretty bad, et cetera, as a result of all this cold weather. And some stem rot and other things, and borers and everything else. You know, there's not much.
Do them a favor and give them a haircut. Yeah.
So you could cut them back almost to the ground, really, and they'll come back. They grow so fast.
They do.
That they'll come back rather quickly.
Now, I want to give Larry credit here on the Green Country Gardener program. Back in October, he says, you know, we're due for a zinger. And I said, well, what do you mean by a zinger? He said, icy cold and lots of snow. We just might get that this weekend.
Yeah, so I was just using mathematical algorithms. It's time, so.
Yeah, but we're not going to get up to the bottom of the stop sign. Well, maybe with a drift or two we might.
Snow. The bottom of the stop sign. Well, just... warm up the four wheel.
You know, I'm going to keep looking at the one just right here at the intersection where we are at the broadcast center here, and we got a couple of stop signs, and I'm going to check and see.
I don't think it's going to get that much snow, really.
No, I don't think so.
Because they really don't know.
No, they don't.
Because it's still out in the Pacific, I believe, or it's heading this way. I don't know what the radar shows, what the national radar shows, but anyway. So it depends.
Throwing darts at the wall is what's going on. This is from a guy who used to do this for a living.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, threw darts at the wall.
Really?
No, weather.
He did well, I would say.
Yeah. They didn't revoke my American Meteorology Society seal.
Okay, so cool.
Not yet.
No. So, yeah, there's just so many variables in the equations when it comes to the to the precipitation.
Yeah.
However, we're getting into that time of year when a bit more precipitation is... I guess, easier to predict.
Yes.
and a bit more steady. And you put it together with some cold, guess what happens?
Well, you get the funny things.
Anyway, now is a good time also for pre-emergence in your annual beds and your shrub beds and things. So typically now is the time. And typically now's the time for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Yes, where you go in and you just cut everything back. Well, it looks like Mother Nature's going to do it for us.
Oh, there you go. You mean I can't get out my power hedge clippers?
Well, you can. Sure. You're diesel-powered.
Diesel-powered.
You borrow Kevin's.
I have to get through the ice first.
He's got a Cummins V12 diesel-powered hedge clipper. Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, really big black smoke cloud. Cut back his monkey grass with it. Okay. So anyway, so timing is very important. I guess the point made is timing is very important for pre-emergence. However, typically this time of year we're battling broadleaf weeds.
We are.
Such as the henbit and the dandelions and so on. I saw a dandelion in my yard in bloom last week. It's so pretty. Ooh. Something blooming.
Hello, February.
So, the Trimec or 2,4-D works very well for that. So, anyway, at the nursery, we have a new line of organic products making it easier to do organic gardening, if you will.
Okay.
Some ready-to-use items as well as some concentrates. We have citrus trees in the greenhouse, and they're blooming right now. If you've never seen or really smelled a citrus tree in bloom, now is the time. They're very, very fragrant. This jasmine-like smell to them. Really quite nice. And we ordered some new hydrangeas, invincibles, and they'll be in soon, and we'll keep you posted on that. The mop heads will be in here also, the new hydrangeas and so on. And one hydrangea I really like is the... I can't think of it right now.
You got brain freeze.
Brain freeze.
What you got?
Well, anyway.
What kind of hydrangea you
We do
about?
Have some new hydrangeas.
Okay.
That, and they bloom more reliably in the heat.
Yeah.
So that's kind of you want to have. Mm-hmm. And they bloom pretty much all summer long, too.
Mm-hmm.
So very anyway, good. We'll have some of those, too. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that also. And there's nothing really new in the Nandinas that are coming out, really. Mm-hmm. We'll have the obsessions. We have some obsessions right now. And some dwarfs. And we're kind of going to those. So they kind of switch into those, if you will, rather than the old-fashioned ones. So we'll have plenty of those, too. They actually do have a few berries on them, too.
Mm. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here in just a moment. It is 8:41.
Bobo hydrangea. That's
Bobo.
The one. Bobo, yeah.
Bobo hydrangea.
Well, I couldn't think of that. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad that we remembered it now because there are folks who are going to be looking, you know, through the computer trying to figure out what kind of hydrangeas would it be talking about.
They have the white blooms on them. There's some parallels to it also.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we'll have plenty of those on hand, too.
Sweet. It is 5 degrees. Feels like it's anywhere between minus 15 and minus 11, wherever you may be in the listening area. It's cold. We're going to be right back after this 2-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday or by appointment.
The Stump Funeral Home and Crematory in Bartlesville and Stump Funeral Homes in Nowata and Barnsdall are proud providers of veterans' funeral care. Our compassionate and professional staff have years of experience in planning military services. Whether choosing cremation or burial, our staff would be proud to take care of all the details for your family member who served. It's our way of expressing gratitude for their service to the country. Just a few of the things we do during this difficult time include completing applications for all veterans' benefits, including military honors, coordinating with national or state veteran cemeteries, and you'll receive a Presidential Memorial Certificate and a Veteran Memorial Marker or Headstone. For a complete description and a full explanation of all the benefits your veteran will receive, please stop by or call the Stump Funeral Home and Crematory in Bartlesville or the Stump Funeral Homes in Nowata and Barnsdall. In Northeast Oklahoma, we're proud providers of veterans' funeral care.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to Arvest Bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
It is 8:44, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program. But in the break, I guess Larry and I were talking about things that will keep you warm as far as comfort food is concerned. Homemade noodles kind of wins.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to do your plants any good, but do you great.
For Valentine's Day, I'm grilling out on the grill.
You are?
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Yes.
You're a manly man.
And we're making...
Doing some shrimp too, aren't you?
Yes, some steaks and shrimp scampi and all that.
Good.
Cooking for my wife on Valentine's.
Now you can tell this man spent a little bit of time in Chicago, because if you grew up there or spent some time up there, you know how to get around the grill in this kind of weather.
I have to do it during the day. The squirrels ate the wires off my lights.
Then there's that.
And no, am I going to rewire it now?
No.
I'll use a flashlight.
Jeesh.
Anyway, that's going to be fun. So anyway, in the garden now, it's, like I said earlier, it's time for heavy pruning on hollies, yews, nandinas, and monkey grass.
Uh-huh.
Also, too late to do any pruning on river birch trees and silver maples. Typically, it's too late, but I would say next week it'll be prime time. You can expect some rather accelerated development on those two species of trees when the weather breaks. Because golly, they'll just go crazy. Mm-hmm. You can still do a little bit of pruning on the fruit trees at this point if you want to venture out into the cold. But I would rather imagine also when this cold spell breaks, they're going to be in a hurry to get their blooming done and so on. And I hope this cold doesn't hurt our bee population.
Hope not either, because without them, we're gone.
I know, because they really need we really need those to pollinate the peach trees and plum trees and whatnot. So, so anyway, I mean, last year when they were in bloom, it was just a hive of them. But we had a cold spell, knocked all of them off the ground.
Ugh.
And that hailstorm, too.
That didn't help.
My whole crop of plums was just laying on the ground. I didn't have any, no plums at all.
There were plum gone.
Yeah, so this year, they because they didn't have to finish the job, if you will, we should have a good production of them this year.
Crazy.
Tree of the week this year is the saucer magnolia, or saucer or Magnolia sulungiana. Some people call them a tulip tree. So people come in and they ask, do you have any tulip trees?
Do you?
Well, yeah, it depends, really. And there are two trees that are called the tulip trees. One of them is a member of the poplar family.
Yes?
Liriodendron tulipifera is the tulip poplar.
Oh, you'll say.
It's a very fast-growing tree that has, actually, they're related to magnolias, too. And they have a flower that's a very primitive kind of flower, too. As is the magnolia. It's a very simple structure, very primitive. And they grow very quickly, but they're marginally hardy here as far as our weather is concerned. They tend to break up in storms real bad and all that. They're more further south of here, south and east of us. You'll have more of the tulip poplars. We had them in Georgia, North Carolina, when I lived in those two places. This forest full of them, beautiful big things. They grow fast. They make good woodworking wood too.
They do.
So when you ask for a tulip tree, well, typically we'll respond by showing you a saucer magnolia. There's several varieties of saucer magnolia. The Jane magnolia is a real good one. Big red flowers on it, really kind of nice. And then there's another type of saucer magnolia called the star magnolia, the Magnolia stellata. And it has that same primitive flower structure to it, but when it blooms, it's really quite nice. So usually they're in bloom almost right now, middle of February, first of March. So not this year.
Not this year.
I noticed some bud swell also on the saucer magnolias and the star magnolias. And depending on where they were, this cold spell typically can arrest the development or even cause them to fall off the tree. Mm-hmm. So we might have a little bit of a disappointment on these two plant species this spring because of this, because they were beginning to swell out. And hopefully they weren't developed far enough to where the flowers would be destroyed by the cold. So if it is, it is. Next year's another year. So what? It just makes them hard to sell.
It does. Jiminy Christmas.
So anyway, that's the tree of the week. Is the saucer magnolia. And that incorporates a variety of different magnolias, including the star magnolia, which would be included in a deciduous magnolia. Now, the saucer magnolia, like I said, is deciduous. They lose their leaves in the wintertime. The Magnolia grandiflora, which is the ones with the great big shiny glossy leaves on them, those are the evergreen magnolias. And that's a different species, the same species, different variety, if you will, of magnolia, too. My next-door neighbor has a beautiful saucer magnolia in the front yard, and they never do anything to it. Every year, it's just beautiful. And here I pamper my star magnolia every year and whatever. So they're, in other words, they're really hardy plants. Mm-hmm. They can tolerate a lot of drought and a lot of insect infestations they can tolerate. And a lot of cold, they tolerate the cold. We had them up in Chicago. Well, you lived there for a while, so anyway, so they're a very hardy plant. Whereas the southern magnolia is a little squeaky up north here, but they do make it okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the tree of the week, is the magnolia. They like well-drained soil, as a lot of things do. They don't tolerate swampy situations very well. Mm-hmm. And they even tolerate the clay. I've seen them growing in limey soils. I've seen them growing in acid soils. So they're very tolerant of a wide range of conditions as far as the soil structure and the soil chemistry is concerned. So it's in other words, it's easy to grow. And this is one you can have fairly close to the house also. I know my star magnolias, I didn't plant it. It's been there for 30-some years.
Oh, wow.
And it's on the northeast corner of the house, and it's kind of grown around the house, kind of hugged a little bit. And these plants only get about 12 feet tall anyway, so it's kind of maxed out. So it's been a really, really nice plant for a long time at my house. And I do nothing to it. There's a little drip head that sprays on it occasionally. That's but it. I never see it wilt. It's in solid rock. And it's got roots to go probably all the way to Australia. You never see it wilt or anything else. So it's a good hard. They're good hardy plants.
Okay.
So as far as pests are concerned, borers might be the only thing that bother them. But a healthy tree typically doesn't have them.
Yeah.
So no diseases that I've seen, really. So good, easy to grow plants.
Beautiful plant, low maintenance. Tolerant.
It blooms. Hardy. It blooms for 20 minutes in the spring. Don't leave town. And it is, and a cold spell can disrupt the blossom shell on it.
Understood.
So, good plants.
All right. We'll be back with a little bit more in just a moment, right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:52, 5 degrees, sunshine. Feels like it's minus 13. We'll be back after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Saving money is good, but saving money and time is even better. Simple, safe, and quick, the MyPhillips 66 app saves you up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas, so you can focus on going and saving. Download today so you can save more to go more. Phillips 66. Live to the full. 25 cents is a combined savings of 10 cents off per gallon, up to 30 gallons at the pump at participating Phillips 66 locations, and 15 cents off per gallon when you pay within the MyPhillips 66 app. Select payment methods may apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2021.
So there I was, folks, in my house without power for a week. Man, my house is all electric, too. I was in a bind. I had a lot of time to think about it, though, and it didn't take long, and the light bulb kicked on. Get it? No power. Well, y'all got the point. I called Caney Sheet Metal Heat and Air because they're certified Generac technicians and installers. Don't delay. Bad weather can happen any day. Call them at 620-879-5720. Caney Sheet Metal Heat and Air.
All righty, we are back with the Green Country Gardener Program, and although we are snug and warm here in the studios, we're going to go up north in about 6 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have the show up in Coffeyville.
Yep.
At the
Interstate Farm and Interstate Home Show right there at Nellis Hall at Coffeyville Community College. I love going up there.
Yeah. It's a nice road trip.
Yeah.
It takes, 45 minutes or something?
Yeah.
It's that long
because
to get there.
I'm never in a hurry when I go up there. I mean, it's kind of scenic, so.
Yeah. So, kind of fun. Trudge through the snow up to Coffeyville.
It'll be gone. It'll be March 26th and 27th, and on the 27th, we'll do our show live up there. So, yeah. You need to get up there early so you can meet Larry and get an autograph.
I guess.
You know how to write your name.
Yeah.
Your wife told me you did. Can't remember where you put your coat, but you know.
Let's talk a little bit about the Nellie R. Stevens Holly.
Shall we?
Shall we talk about the that's our shrub of the week, Nellie R. Stevens Holly. It's a coarse textured upright holly, up to 25 feet tall.
That's a heck of a holly.
Some people plant these right by the front door.
Oh!
So they plant it too close to the house. Usually, say, in the corner of the house or something, they plant this thing. It's monstrous. So you might want to consider, if you want a holly plant close to the house, you might consider a dwarf Burford holly, perhaps.
Got it.
Or there's the some others that'll do that, too. So, so anyway, Nellie R. Stevens holly, it quickly gets too big and has to be cut back. Nellie R. Stevens holly makes a good screen or a specimen plant. This is one you want to leave all the way to the ground.
Got it.
Sort of like the magnolia. We talked about that in the past, the southern magnolia. You want to leave it all the way to the ground because it drops something every day.
Wow.
The Nellie R. Stevens doesn't do that, but still, it makes a pretty plant if it's allowed to grow in a cone-shaped ground. Mm-hmm. So give it lots of room. It's plant in a deep, slightly acidic soil that drains well, but I've seen them growing in the limestone Park Hill area and all that, where it's limestone, the pH is about, 12. And even in the clay, it does very well. It's very adaptable to soil type, but it does like a slightly acidic pH in the soil. So maybe some iron sulfate around it on a regular basis to keep that pH low and keep the nitrogen deficiencies from getting ahead of it. So
you got plenty of that at the shop.
Yeah, so this it makes a big show in the winter by being covered with lots of red berries. It's quite durable and drought tolerant. And even if it doesn't, even if the flowers don't get pollinated, they still develop a red berry on them. This is kind of a unique quality of this particular plant. So it's kind of showy in the wintertime, too. So it's a good one to have as a specimen plant. Or we planted some for a screen plant not too long ago, and they grow fairly quickly. And they'd be surprised how big they'll get. They're 25 feet tall is a pretty good size for a holly bush. And if you do grow it, and just try not to keep it pruned, just put it in an area where it can get to be its mature size without any care. So there's the willow leaf holly. Or the needlepoint holly, which looks kind of like it, and they have sort of a similar berry characteristic, and those you can put closer to the house.
There you go.
So
you want to put the other one right there.
No, not the Nellie R.C. It gets really big. Kind of, it gets about as big, say, as a Foster Holly, which is another one that gets pretty good size. And the American Holly, too. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of breeds of the American Holly and other varieties kind of bred in there to get them to do what they do. So so that's kind of interesting. And it's a big holly plant. And there are a lot of big holly plants, but you need a big space or a big holly plant. And there are some smaller ones that do kind of the same thing, like I mentioned earlier. The needlepoint holly does a very good substitute for that. So anyway, Nellie R. Stevens holly is our shrub of the week, or tree shrub of the week. House plants,
autograph seekers, Larry.
Anyway, the days are getting noticeably longer, and more light is becoming available for your house plants. They should begin to show some sign of growth, and you might want to think about repotting also for your house plants. It's also time to start thinking about getting some tomato plants started too.
Indoors,
because they're going to be growing and developing pretty quickly, and you want to be ahead of the game in getting them outside. And also, you get getting the ground ready, too. So it's a good time for planning, a good time for preparation, good time to kind of plan ahead on some things, too.
Very good. And, of course, drop by here. You're open, what, Thursday through...
Friday and Saturday we're open right now.
Friday and Saturday.
We've got all kinds of organic supplies coming in, too. And you'd be surprised how well these organic insecticides and things work. I was going to talk about that.
Well, we got to do our implement thing here.
Oh, yeah. Well, by all means, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next
American
week.
Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.